Hello, everyone. This is David Hughes from the Corporate Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, and I want to welcome you to the latest episode of WWT's Tech 17 podcast series. Our Tech 17 series brings together subject matter experts from WWT, our partners, and occasionally customers to discuss important topics in the enterprise space. So today, I think we've got a great discussion set up. We're going to be talking about a very important topic in cybersecurity. And I'm glad to say we have one of our subject matter experts that's going to be participating in the podcast today, along with two of our partners. And with that, I want to introduce our participants today. First, we've got Matt Berry from Worldwide Technology. Matt is a principal architect in our global security practice. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Okay, great. And Matt is joining us from Minneapolis. I, by the way, am in our global headquarters here in St. Louis. And then we have two partners with us from Cyber Reason. We've got Israel Barak and Maor Franco. Hope I got the names right, guys.
You did. Pleasure joining you, David.
Thanks, Israel. And I believe Maor and Israel are both joining us, different locations, but you guys are both joining us from Boston today.
We are.
Okay, great. So Maor is a director for the product marketing team at Cyber Reason, and Israel is the chief information security officer. So, guys, before we get started with our discussion, if you know, you guys could just give very briefly, Matt, just give very briefly a role, a description of your role at Worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely, David. So as a principal architect for our global security practice, one of my responsibilities is to help steer the direction of Worldwide's approach to security and what solutions we offer to our customers, which ultimately should help deliver secure business outcomes that our customers require. And so part of that involves establishing and fostering relationships with some of our partners, of which Cyber Reason is one of them, especially in the endpoint security space.
Okay. Well, thanks, Matt. And for your regular listeners of Tech 17, Matt's been on several times in our podcast. Hopefully you recognize Matt from his past appearances on Tech 17. So for Maor and Israel, so Maor, maybe you first, and then Israel, if you could just tell us very briefly about your overall roles at Cyber Reason. And then before we get into our specific discussion, if you could give us just a very brief overview of Cyber Reason itself. So Maor, let me start with you.
Yeah, thanks, David. As part of my role as Director of Product Marketing at Cyber Reason, I oversee our channel partners' relationship. How can we help you guys be the trusted advisor for our customers, do greater business together, and build collateral and thought leadership content for the market and show how we differentiate together? Thanks for having us here today. As part of Cyber Reason started a couple of years ago with a revolutionary technology. We build this bottom-up by analyst, true analyst, to make sure that we are able to identify those target attackers, those nation states that are able to go under detection radars, and specifically focusing, as Matt mentioned, on the endpoint detection response. From there, using the technology that we have built, we've progressed from an endpoint detection response, adding capabilities across the endpoint, across all operating system, introducing next-gen antivirus capabilities as well, and being able to provide that spectrum of offering, starting from prevention, detection, response capabilities, zero-code hunting, and response and remediation offerings. That is kind of nutshell what Cyber Reason does today, as well as other consulting services that we provide.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thanks, Maor. And Israel, could you just give us a few seconds and tell us about your role at Cyber Reason?
Of course. Well, as Chief Information Security at Cyber Reason, I'm closely involved primarily in our cybersecurity innovation, our product strategy, and our advanced security research.
Okay, great. So guys, thanks for the introductions and telling us a little bit about your role. So let's kind of dive into the specific topic that we want to talk to our listeners about today. And that's about a very serious cyber threat called soft cell. And I think I want to start with, let me throw this to Israel first. So Israel, could you kind of give us a little bit of an overview in terms of just what is soft cell and why is it so important?
Yes, absolutely. And for me, David, you know, as we exposed soft cell and made it public, to me it was a special pleasure. You know, soft cell is really one out of many nation state incidents that we're exposing and investigating. But this one we decided along with our customers and partners to make public, and I think it brings to light some of the methods of operations and mindset of how nation state actors work. And I think those are rare occasions for the general public to be exposed to that type of information, to get that type of insight. So for me, it's always a pleasure to be able to provide that type of information. Generally speaking, soft cell is a nation state sponsored attack, likely with Chinese origins, that targeted global telecommunication providers, with a goal of surveillance against specifically targeted individuals and caller IDs or organizations that were subscribers of these telecom providers. It is by far the largest nation state attack against the telecom industry that was ever made public, recently exposed by CyberEason after a period of, actually we spent 9 months with our customers in the telco industry fighting various waves of this attack group. The a couple of interesting things about the attack, and I think it leads into why it's so important, is that the attackers really maintained deep access into the networks of at least 12 global telco providers. It spanned from 2017 to 2019, and according to some evidence that we've collected, it may have even started at 2012, and it gave the attackers access to sensitive caller data records of over 1 billion people. Now, the reason I think this is important is that it's really giving us a glimpse into how nation-state actors are operating against critical infrastructure providers and private organizations. It really allows us to better understand what we need to be doing to mitigate these risks.
Okay, thanks, Israel. And let me throw this over to Matt. And I know, Matt, I think you wanted to comment on this too. And I think you wanted to make a point about how this fits into the overall practice area in terms of endpoint security.
Yeah. Thanks, David. So just to add on to what Israel said, I mean, from a macro perspective, as we look at endpoint security, you know, we know it's top of mind in every organization. It affects every industry vertical. Every company size, and really, like what we're seeing in the industry is that this old notion of, you know, traditional network security has really been disrupted in, I would say, like the last 5 to 10 years by, you know, the decentralization of corporate networks, the rise of mobile devices, increase of Internet of Things devices, and what all this has done has been to essentially erase the network perimeter, the enterprise perimeter that customers have traditionally used to protect their organizations from attacks. And so, you know, the reason we see endpoint as really valuable in this space, and CyberEason in particular, is just that ability to provide enhanced visibility on the endpoint as attacks are coming directly, you know, to that device, and then also increasing that pre-breach protection, which, as Maor said, you know, comes in terms of next-gen AV, but also that enhanced visibility to respond when a security incident does occur, as in the case of soft cell. And just lastly, you know, the interesting thing I was reading the other day, there's an old an old article off of Wired from 2014, where they were talking about how, you know, data is the new oil of the digital economy. So, you know, as we're talking about SoftCell and, you know, these attackers were trying to steal CDR records or call data records, it's data that that attackers are going after. And so, you know, all this to say, you know, with data being more valuable than oil at this point, it's really important that we have that visibility and that ability to respond to an incident, which again is what Cyber Reason is all about.
Okay, thanks, Matt. And I know in just doing the research and you know, part of our discussion talking about SoftCell, I believe the specific example that we're talking about was a threat in the to a telco supplier. So it was kind of specific to the telco vertical. But I want to throw this question out to Maor first. And I guess Maor, is for other companies that are not in the telco vertical, is this a threat? Is the SoftCell threat, does it go beyond the telco vertical, and could it affect other categories as well?
Yeah, David, this is a very kind of relevant question. When we did the investigation, as Israel pointed out, we saw indication from their be present at the telecommunication vendor from 2012. As we did the research, we were able to identify other telecommunication vendors as part of this attack, which we have notified and gave them all the relevant details despite not being a Cyberint customer. But we've also seen indications of potentially other critical infrastructure companies. Now, based on conversation we had with our customers, what we're seeing in the market, we know that across verticals, we see energy, financial, healthcare, threats are valid, real, and current. We see them, the targeted attackers, whether it's for the purpose of cyber espionage, commercial disruption, cybercrime, you name it, of the targeted attacker that build tailored and customized attacks. They are professional, organized, and well-funded. And unfortunately, with those targeted attacks, if you try to kick them out, they will always return. They have their objectives. And what we're seeing, kind of coming back to your question, is that we're seeing this across the board, across the verticals. This SoftCell in particular is telecommunication focused, but there are other types of attacks we're seeing. As Cap1 is one of the recent names that we saw a breach communicated. That is across the board.
Okay, it's interesting to know for sure. Matt, did you have any follow-up comments about that point, just about SoftCell being a threat beyond the telco vertical?
Yeah, I mean, what Cyber Reason uncovered through SoftCell is, you know, is a phenomenal find, and I think what it highlights to any organization, whether they're in the telco vertical or not, is that, you know, attackers are opportunistic and they're going after your data. And whether you think that data is valuable or not, you know, there's a way to leverage it. And so, you know, if you store information in ones and zeros somewhere on some device, you're a target, and you need to, you know, seriously look at, you know, what am I doing as an organization to protect myself from data being stolen, and also from the, you know, the fallout from, you know, from being attacked, whether that's, you know, in terms of brand reputation or in, you know, legal issues you run into, whether that information is yours in terms of intellectual property or belonging to, you know, a customer or, you know, a patient in terms of like PII.
So I guess my next question would be just for everyone, just to kind of, you know, following up on the specific SoftCell threat. I know that, you know, you all talk to customers all the time, and I know probably some of the things that come up are, you know, from a CTO or a CIO, CE or CSO. What questions should I be asking myself if I'm in that position, whether we have been attacked by the SoftCell threat? And I guess, you know, if I could make it a two-part question, the second part would be, how does an organization know, or how do I know if I'm in one of those roles, if my organization has been attacked by SoftCell? So maybe, Israel, could I throw this to you first, and if you could kind of give me your thoughts on those two issues?
Sure thing, David. Well, after we exposed the soft cell incident, we received a large quantity of inbound questions from multiple entities in the industries, as well as government agencies. Many of them came from senior leadership, and they were trying to look at this from a bigger picture perspective. And they were thinking, you know, if this attacker was trying to establish surveillance capabilities against individuals, that it's highly likely that the same attack group targeted many other types of businesses that serve the exact same goal across transportation, airlines, naval shipping, financial organizations, healthcare, and so forth beyond the telco industry. And so I would say that across the in multiple inbound questions that we had gotten from senior executives in these industries, probably the first question or the most common one was, how can we tell if we were breached as part of this attack campaign? I think it is very likely the first question executive leadership in potentially targeted organizations should be asking. I think the second most common question that we received was, how can we tell if we're prepared to counter this attack group if they go after us? Can we stop it? Can we detect it? Can we effectively take action against it if and when it happens? So I think those are probably the two most common questions that we had gotten from senior leaders and executive leaderships. And those are probably intuitively the first most important questions that I would ask myself in their position as well.
Okay. Thanks, Israel. And Matt, did you have some follow-up comments that you wanted to make on those on those two topics?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really for the first question in terms of, you know, what C-level executives should be asking themselves, I would say C-level executives should be asking their teams and their, you know, the whether it's the SOC or the InfoSec teams that work underneath them, really three questions. And I know this has come up on previous podcasts and Tech 37s before, but basically, what is on my network? What is it doing? And it should it be doing those things? And you know, it's three simple questions, but those are incredibly difficult questions to answer. And it's imperative that, you know, those executives who are, you know, guiding organizations and responsible for defining security strategy and ensuring that, you know, the risk is mitigated, they need to be able to, their teams need to be able to answer those three questions. And I probably would say the fourth question would be, you know, how long does it take us to detect when an incident occurs? I think SoftCell is a fantastic example of how, you know, I think you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the data that you have indicates that activity went back as far as 2012, perhaps even longer than that. And so if you look at that, I mean, between 2019 and 2012, you're looking at 7 or 8 years where you know, attackers were inside an environment, poking around, gathering data. And so as an executive, you know, a metric that I would really care about is, you know, what is the mean time to detection to be able to, you know, what's on average, how long does it take me to figure out that, you know, I have been breached, that something is occurring. So just a couple things to think about there.
Okay. Well, thanks, Matt. And, you know, I think it was a great discussion from everyone on a very serious topic. And, you know, we hear about these cyber threats almost on a daily basis. So it's obviously, I think, something that's going to be really, really important and really interesting to our listeners. So I think just to wrap up here in our final couple of minutes, I got kind of, you know, one more topic that I'd like everyone to talk about. And I think I'll start with Matt first, but I certainly like Maor and Israel to comment as well. And it's just kind of, you know, we've talked about the threat and, you know, and about how, you know, customers should evaluate whether they have been attacked and, you know, what they should do about it. But I wanted to kind of wrap up and talk about kind of the, you know, specific solutions that both WWT and Cyber Reason, and I think in conjunction with that, really with the partnership between WWT and Cyber Reason, What kind of solutions can we bring to enterprise customers to address this very serious soft cell threat and really others like it as well? So Matt, maybe I'll start with you and then have Israel and Mauer comment as well.
Sure, David. So, you know, at Worldwide, our primary goal is to help drive our customers' desired outcomes, not just sell a single product and then walk away. You know, so to really think holistically and to be that trusted advisor. That's why we enjoy working with Cyber Reason. They get that. They understand that. And so, you know, I think a Cyber Reason Worldwide partnership, it provides our customers with, you know, a number of value adds in terms of thinking holistically, you know, developing a roadmap for, you know, long-term maturity, thinking about, you know, the entire ecosystem that a customer has. So, you know, outside of just endpoint security, you know, does network security, how does cloud security, how does security automation and orchestration fit into a overall security architecture? You know, both Cyber Reason and Worldwide, we have services that we can provide to our customers, working in parallel to sort of, you know, think at things from a macro level, and also to be able to demonstrate those proof of concepts, those you know, that art of the possible in our Advanced Technology Center, which I would be remiss if I didn't mention our new digital platform is going to launch the first week in August. But you know, thinking in terms of sort of the big picture, and also I think Maor, you're going to mention it, but you know, even in terms of cyber posture assessments and looking at things, you know, both before you know, before a new technology is added to the organization, but also incrementally as time goes on, to be able to assess you know, the maturity of your organization and you know, measure progress. So just a couple things there, Maor, your thoughts?
Yeah, spot on, Matt. I think we are 100% aligned with the outcomes approach. And at the end of the day, we want to be there for our customers when they need us. Whether soft cell related, when they pick up the phone and say, help us, help me evaluate whether I'm impacted, are we breached? Have I ever been breached in the past? Do you see the soft cell indicators in the past data as well, whether it's active or dormant? We want to be there to help them answer this critical question. Beyond that, as Matt mentioned, is how we're leading the path with not just selling products to our customers, but really understanding the needs. How can we look at their current security program and evaluate the cyber posture of their security maturity? Whether it's a one-off, let's go and assess. Are you ready? What is your current security program at? What are the vulnerabilities you have in place? And we do this quick assessment. Now, as Matt mentioned, our goal is not to kind of come, give you the assessment, and give you a result, and continue with our life. We want to make sure that we're hand-holding you to improve and take the actionable recommendations we provided, whether it's the cyber posture assessment for the overall IT hygiene and improvement of your security program, or the compromise assessment that we go in looking at both real-time telemetry and past events using forensics capabilities to evaluate whether you're impacted. Once we've done that, we're able to help you understand your current cyber posture, whether you're currently compromised and how can you help you there, and how continuously we can help you improve on those measurements. Israel, what do you think? Anything on your end to add on that from a cyber reason perspective?
Well, Matt Maor, I think those were great points. Those were great points. I think to Matt's point, points from earlier in the conversation, I think what we at a core want to achieve is really to continuously leverage the visibility and the detection capabilities that the Cyber Reason Defense Platform provides us to really enable our customers' security operations centers to reduce that mean time that it takes them to stop, to detect, and to effectively respond to advanced threats that are able to get past their security perimeter. So we want to use those ongoing assessments to really ongoingly help to understand what the cyber posture of our customers' environment is and really leverage that to help our customers expose threats, exposures, and ongoingly mature and scale their security program, or to Matt's point, to really enable the Security Operations Center to effectively know at any given moment in time what is on their network, what is it doing, and really should it be doing this.
I think that the methodologies we've built, WWT and Cybereason, spans across the MITRE ATT&CK framework. We saw in the techniques that were used in Softel, but in reality, in real world incidents, we see the same techniques being used across different types of attacks. And the methodologies that we're implementing in these assessments and how we help our customers across those techniques and attack lifecycle is complete. So we can provide them conclusive and actionable actions to mature their security programs.
Okay. Well, thanks, Maurer. And I think we'll give Maurer the last word, I think, on this topic. So, guys, just, you know, again, great conversation, you know, about the serious threat and, you know, about the ways and, you know, some of the solutions between the partnership and Cybereason and WWT to help customers address this very serious cybersecurity threat. So with that, that wraps up another episode of Tech17. So I want to thank Maurer, Israel, and Matt for joining us today. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us again on Tech17. Please subscribe. It is free, and you can catch up on all of our other Tech17 episodes. We've got a lot of great content that you can catch up on as well by subscribing to our Tech17 series. Also, please check the episode notes. We'll have some links to some more detailed content. Just kind of gives a deeper dive to some of the topics that we covered today in today's Tech17 episode. So with that, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Tech17.